in a nutshell, and that we discussed 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
The point 2 weeks ago, we discussed the idea that in order to be an Or LaGoyim, to influence the world, you need to be a state with movies and fashions and Olympic teams, and because that's what influences the world. Just like American culture influences the world today, that's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way we were in the time of David and Shlomo, and that's the way we're going to be in Yimot HaMashiach. What we learned last week, another aspect of Zionism, is the idea that it brings you out of your self-centeredness. That part of maturing is to become godly, is to become a more giving and less self-centered person. And that's what happens when we mature and we give to our peers, afterwards to our spouse, afterwards to our children. And the same thing, humanity, little by little, is maturing. And as Rav Kook explains, that we saw last week, the time has come to add another wider circle, and that is the circle not just of myself, not just of my family, but my nation. And that's the framework of altruism, of giving selflessly, where the epitome is to give, if need be, your life in war, or minimum even 2-3 years in the army, 1 month a year in Miluim, to give to the nation of Israel. And there's nothing more selfless than that. And in addition to every time you listen to the news, it should say something to you when you're in a national framework, right? Every fire is a Jewish fire. Every hitchhiker is a Jewish hitchhiker. And that's what it means to live in a Jewish state, okay? Today we're going to see the flip side of that. And if until now Rav Kook spoke about what we learned, he spoke about the idea of breaking out of your self-centeredness to become more national-oriented, more Zionist-oriented. Today, we're going to talk about where the individualism comes in. Because b'chol zot, I'm an individual. Let's see it inside. This is from Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Bet, Perek Kafchet, Koach. Havdala v'hachlala. The division and the collective. Okay, the shnei kavim ovrim lifanenu badrachat haklal ve'aprat. There are two different approaches, two hashkafot, two ways of thinking, two philosophies, and as we'll see, there are also economic philosophies and social philosophies, which basically define the relationship between the individual and the community or the nation. Kav hamavdil ve'kav hamechaber. One is the approach of division, which places the stress on what divides us. And the other is kav hamechaber, that which stresses, that which unites us. Okay, for example, if I were to come into this room, I were just to open my eyes for a minute, meet you for the first time, I would say that you are all identical. Right? You're all between 18 and 20. Right? You're all Jewish. You're all Anglo-Saxon. You're all religious. You're all Zionist. You're all here to learn Torah. You're basically identical. Right? You can't get a more homogeneous group than this. Right? On the other hand, as soon as I said that you're all identical, I saw an eyebrow or two rise. You know, what do you mean? She's 20 and I'm 19, right? Or, well, he's from England and I'm from America. Or he's from Chicago, but well, that's out of town, you know. Right? Or he's tall and I'm short, and or I'm blonde and he's, you know. Because there is a lot which unites every group, especially a group like this, which is basically homogeneous. There's a lot that unites, but there's also a lot that divides you. And obviously, both are correct. And the question is what you're going to stress. So Rav Kook says these are the two hashkafot, the two philosophies, which if we divide them, I say I'm the only one who uses this board.
Yeah.
We have on the one hand the hashkafah that puts the individual in the middle, and on the other hand we have the hashkafah
What is Asher on English?
Outlook.
Outlook.
That's the word I'm looking for. The communal, or the klal. Klal is a better word. The nation. In the middle. Now, if I were to ask you, when in the 20th century it was super clear, what was the extreme of each of these two hashkafot? Let's start with the nationalism. What hashkafah, economic hashkafah, social hashkafah, philosophical hashkafah, was the extreme, put the extreme on the importance of the nation at the expense of the individual, which was almost totally worthless?
Socialism.
That's communism, right. Socialism, and especially the way it was carried out in communism in the Soviet Union, right? Where the word communism is from the word community, right? It puts the stress on the klal. And what are the advantages of communism? Right, Karl Marx was not a stupid person. But you guys growing up after Tufshin Mentet, after 1989, probably look at communism as totally warped because all the secrets came out, right? But when I was growing up, a lot of Americans wanted to be communist, especially Jews. Right? I'm not talking about the 50s, where I'm sure you heard of the Rosenbergs. You know what I'm talking about? Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, who were given the electric chair because they... But Bichlal, Jews are very social oriented. They like the idea of equality. And if you look at Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Zatzal, you ever heard of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? One of the Gedolei Hador of the last generation. All of his brothers and sisters were communists. And Rav Aaron Kotler, all of his brothers and sisters were communists. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, all of his brothers and sisters were communists. And these were intelligent families. And the most idealistic of the Jews went blindly after this idea of socialism because they saw this as taking the place of religion. This is a wonderful world. Everyone's equal. What are the advantages? Did you guys, I'm sure you heard of the Beatles, right? Remember they had the song Back in the USSR? Today it's absurd, right? They wanted to be communists, right? We Jews found out earlier than others, you know, that the communist regime was crushing Jews and the KGB was following them everywhere, right? But what is the advantage of communism? If half the world was following it, there must be an advantage. In what topics is it advantageous, this extreme stress on the nationalism? Again, Karl Marx wasn't a stupid person. He was Jewish, right? He had to, what's the advantage of socialism?
Each other, working together, and everything. Everyone's equal.
Yeah, that's nice. You don't have shopping bag people, you know, wandering around the streets. Everyone has an apartment. Everyone has a television. Everyone has a car. Everyone has everything. And everyone, the idea of equality is a very nice idea, especially when it comes to war, where any kind of national mission. Growing up in America. It's interesting, when you start meeting guys from other people in the world, you start understanding that the narrative that we learned in history was the American narrative. As soon as you start meeting English and Dutch or other people, you start hearing, that's one opinion, that's one-sided. As opposed to what they taught us in American history, the way they teach it in Europe, it was the Russians who defeated the Germans. And it was a punishment in the German army if you were caught sleeping on Shmirah. They would send you to the Russian front. Why was that such a punishment? A, because it was cold. And B, Stalin, Yimach Shemo, was a Meshuggah. And everybody knew that he was going to send division after division and battalion after battalion until he eventually wore the Germans down, which he did. Because he couldn't care if there were tens of millions of soldiers who were going to die. He doesn't care about the individual. He cares about the nation. Okay? The individual here really gets lost. And this is the hashkafa that Rashi brings it down at the end of Parashat Noach, Migdal Bavel, where Chazal, in their picturesque way, draw that as they were building the Migdal, if a person fell, they said, the show must go on. If a brick fell, everybody started crying. Remember that midrash? What are they saying? The mission is what's important. The nation is what's important. The individual can go to pot. We couldn't care less. Okay. Now this is the extreme of the national tfisa. The extreme of the individual tfisa is the way we grew up, right? In the liberal world, in the democratic world. Which puts the individual in the middle. Okay? It's so obvious for us that the individual's rights are important. We don't even have to ask what are the advantages, right? What are the advantages, just in a nutshell, of putting the individual in the democracy in the, at the front?
People are actually motivated to work
harder. Right? People are more motivated, right? If you're going to make the money, you're going to work harder. That was one of the reasons why socialism fell, or why the kibbutzim eventually also fell. Because if I'm going to get my car and color TV anyway, even if I don't work hard, so why should I work hard? Okay, that's a very important point. What else? Where else is the individual, the democratic way good?
The economy, it's like competition, products advancing.
Right. The more competition there is, the consumer gains. Right? These are, it's interesting, when I was your age, these were really hot issues. You know, that everybody was either socialist or democratic, they had their Mishnah Zdura. Because since the fall of communism, you guys, a lot of you probably never even thought of these issues because it's not really a question anymore. Okay? But in the time of Rav Kook, these were hot issues. Now, where's the shortcoming of the democratic way, right? We have freedom of speech, we have freedom of religion, we have a lot of advantages. What are the disadvantages of democracy?
A lot of people don't have those advantages.
Right. If somebody's less intelligent, right, or less strong, can't compete, what else?
Less opportunity.
Sorry?
Less opportunity.
What do you mean? What kind of opportunity?
More opportunity.
Ah. Oh, that's an advantage. I'm asking for disadvantages. Disadvantages, again, is in the national realm. Okay, when your nation goes to war, the individual in Western society is not willing to sacrifice himself for the country. Right? There was a story in Gush, it's about 35 years ago already. I have an older brother who learned in Gush for 15 years. And he told me, I don't know how it is today, they used to have Israelis and American doing Shmirah together. You still have that?
Yeah, exactly.
You have friends there? Oh. So what do? They take the Americans to do a mitvach, to teach them how to shoot, but, you know, really very minimal. And they put them together on Shmirah with an Israeli who's already done the army, who's more professional, is better trained. And one night, there were gunshots coming from outside Alon Shvut. They heard the gunshots. And the Chamal, that's the headquarters, they radioed these Shomrim, or whatever it was, the north side, south side, whatever side they were, to investigate, to see what's going on. So the Shomrim start running in the direction towards the shots. And the Israeli, who was in better shape than the American, he had just finished the army, he was running a little ahead, but he kept checking behind to make sure the American was with him. But after a couple minutes, he lost eye contact with the American. He waited for a minute and didn't catch up. And he radioed that there's a chashash, he suspects that they fell into an ambush. That's always the chashash. By the way, today, you're not allowed to investigate unless you're in three. I mean, 30 years ago, they used to go in twos. Because of this, right? If there's two guys, one falls into the ambush, he's a little ahead or a little behind, then the other guy's also going to be alone and also fall into an ambush, right? You know, it's not good to be on your own. Anyway, so they told him to forget the gunshots and to look for his partner. And they sent forces, and they started putting up flares, you know, to light up the night so that they could look for the American. To make a long story short, when the Bedouin Gashash, how do you say Gashash? You know what the Bedouins do in the army? They're trackers. Because what they do is they grow up as shepherds. And they're very sensitive. Somebody who grows up in nature can look at tracks. And he could tell by looking at your footprint, your height, your weight, your age, whether you're nervous, and obviously he can follow them very quickly. Okay, and they I once saw a tracker. They do unbelievable work. And so when the tracker finally came, they showed him the American was wearing sneakers, they showed him the footprints, and he starts running after the footprints. And you have 10, 15 soldiers running after him, you know, with the radio and everything on their back, and they're running and running, and, you know, lachutz. They're nervous. And to make a long story short, they found the American very quickly hiding in the closet in his room. And you can imagine what that did for Israeli-American relations in the yeshiva. And they asked the American Shomer, what are you doing here hiding in your room? So he said, it's dangerous outside. Well, that's the job of the Shomer, right? If tonight you're on Shmirah, tomorrow night I'm on Shmirah, who's ever on Shmirah? It's his obligation to do, you know, even... So the American, the logical answer is, if you hear gunshots, your instinct is to run the other way, not to run towards the gunshots. Okay? So here, you see an example of where the more national orientation is a lot better militarily. Okay? Now, if I were to ask you, what is Judaism? This is a common question, right? If you have two approaches, which would you say is the Torah closer to? Sorry? Right. It's always in the middle, right? And that's really what we're going to do today. How to harmonize the two. Can you give me an example? For example, where does Yadut put the stress on the individual?
We speak about that with the... we spoke about the three main people. Are the Kohen Gadol, the Beis Din, and the King?
Is that what Oh, very good. Yeah.
Either way, but I think basically we speak about how the Kohen Gadol is an individual and does everything for the clan. Each one represents...
Okay. That's a malach that the other guys aren't into. Just simply, in halacha, where all of Dine Mamonot is based on the individual. Right? Judaism isn't a kibbutz, right? When you work for a living, the money is yours. Somebody who takes it is a ganav. He has to pay a kefel, gazlan, chomesh, right? All ben adam lechavero is based on that every individual has rights. On the other hand, where does Judaism stress the community or the nation? Right. All the mitzvot tatluyot ba'aretz, right? What you grow, it's not all yours. You have to give. It comes out, by the way, to more than 50%, if you ever figure it out, how much. More than 50% of what you grow, you have to give to the Kohen, the Levi, the Ani, 58 matnot kuna. The idea of milchemet mitzvah, right? That when the nation of Israel goes to war, right? The idea of the community, the tefillah b'tzibur, all the tefillot are worded in the plural. In other words, Judaism is very clearly has both aspects to it. And if I were to summarize what where it comes out, as Chazal say in Pirkei Avot, im ein ani li mi li, which aspect is that? That's the individual, right? Im ein ani li, if I am not out for myself, who's going to be for me? What's the continuation? Ufishe ani,
la'atzmi
ma'ani. If I'm only for myself, if I'm just worried about myself, then what am I worth? I'm here today, I'm going tomorrow, right? Ufishe ani, la'atzmi ma'ani. And this, by the way, I once heard a beautiful explanation by Rav Yoel ben Nun on, in Sefer Bamidbar, as you know, it's called the Chumash HaPukudim. Numbers, in English also they use that. Why? Because throughout the book, at the beginning, middle, the end, they count B'nai Yisrael. Why do they keep counting us? And why do they only count people from the age of 20 to the age of 60?
For the prime?
Right, but why?
For the army.
Exactly. The Ramban says, we're about to conquer the land of Israel. We have to know how many soldiers we have. Okay, but if you notice, whenever we're counted, when it says there are arba v'shivim elef shlosh mod v'chamishim b'mispar shemot l'shevet Yehuda. Remember that term? What does it mean, b'mispar shemot? It's exactly this idea. B'mispar, in every army in the world, The first thing that they do is they give you a serial number. When I remember first day of the army, they told us everybody has to remember their number, and if you don't remember your number, we're going to wake you up at 3 in the morning. If you don't know your number, you're docked for Shabbat. So I memorized my number. My wife was pregnant. I wanted to get home for Shabbat. 4-3-0-9-7-0. Why are you given a number? What's the psychological aspect that the army wants to have? You think of yourself as a number?
Individual.
You're?
Not an individual.
Not an individual. Just like you're 4-3-0-9-7-0, he's 4-3-0-9-7-1. And there's a guy before you and after. And if the commander says, charge, even though he knows that two or three of the guys are going to fall, if we have to conquer this area because they're shooting at our citizens, we can't look at ourselves as individuals, okay? That's the idea of mispar. But in the army of Israel, you're not just called a mispar. What's the term? The mispar? Shemot. What does a name represent? That's your individual aspect. Oh, sorry. Wrong side. This is the Bimispar. This is the Shemot. Every individual has their own name. Every individual has importance. He has a wife. He has a child. We don't look at the Jewish soldier just as a number. He's also an individual. And both aspects are important. So how do we harmonize the two? Hakava mavdil hit kansut ha'ishit. The time for division is when we turn towards ourselves, turn inwards. Shiba mitotza'ata she'ifa lashlama ruchanit pnimit. We have an inner desire sometimes to be alone, to get in touch with our spirituality, with our neshama. Machshavtit vehergeshit. To get in touch with our thoughts, to get in touch with our emotions. Umize gam ken tivit upu'latit. And after we're in touch with ourselves, then we'll know how to act accordingly. Hamistefet mimena, which comes as a result. Shirak isha ma'ala bitbodeduto yuchal la'asiga letzairav liknota. Anybody familiar with this idea of hitbodedut?
Yeah.
Where's that? Who's big into that? Exactly. This is Reb Nachman Breslov. Sometimes there's a need to be on your own. Now, he's not only talking about going into the forest like Reb Nachman. Sometimes, you ever at a party and everyone's having a good time and singing and dancing and joking and you just feel like being to yourself, right? We all have that feeling. It's natural. And I'm not talking about if a person's upset about something, but sometimes we need to be alone. Rav Kook says, God gave us that nature because we need to get in touch with ourselves. And Rav Nachman Breslov said it beautifully. Rabbi Nachman says that if you want to meet, im birtzoncha lipagesh im hashchina, tse laya'ar. If you want to meet God, go out to the forest. Why? What are you going to find in the forest?
Yourself.
Yourself, right? It's not what there is in the forest. It's what there isn't. You all see? And this is what's called in Chassidut, Bechinat Shabbat. What is Shabbat about? Shabbat is a day where there's no iPod, no internet, no television, no car, no money. You're with yourself. And this is why Shabbat is called Me'ein Olam Haba. Because what is Olam Haba about? Olam Haba is with your there with your neshama. Again, there's no body, there's no discotheque, there's no money, there's no reception, there's no internet. And by the way, in Chassidut, the Netivot Shalom writes about this. It's an awesome concept. We could spend a whole hour on this. What is the idea of Gan Eden according to Chassidut? They say that heaven and hell is really the exact same place. I'd focus well. Heaven and hell is the exact same place. But for one person, it's paradise. And for another guy, it's as boring as hell. Right? And it all depends, Hare. You don't change. Your neshama doesn't change when you go up to the world to come. Wherever you finish here, that's where you're at. Right? That's you. Because you're not your body. Your body stays down. Your neshama goes up to heaven. Now, wherever you're at, whether it be here or there, that's your definition of pleasure. Somebody who likes learning in yeshiva, or enjoys Shabbat, enjoys spiritual things, he gets to Gan Eden, and he's having a great time, right? Because you don't have to worry about making a living, you don't have to worry about sleeping, and it's just all spiritual and godly and everything. But for somebody whose definition of pleasure is all physical, right? It's his iPod, and his car, and his money, and his cell phone. And he gets up to heaven, and there's no reception, and there's no money, and it's as boring as hell, because there's nothing for him to do there. Because his definition of fun is stuck at a pretty relatively low level. Okay? You all catch that? So that's what Shabbat is about. Shabbat, and that's, by the way, if you want to check if you're going to enjoy that world to come, is it going to be for you heaven or hell? Check whether you enjoy Shabbat. Because Shabbat is exactly that idea, where you peel off all the external things and you're left with yourself, i.e. your neshama, i.e. your spark of God. Right? What is a neshama? It's a spark of God. It's chelek eloka. So if you're in touch with your neshama, you're in touch with God. Do you all see what Rav Nachman is saying? That's what Rav Kook is saying. Sometimes we need to be alone to get in touch with ourselves. And that's what he means. If you want to meet God, go out to the forest, i.e. get in touch with your inner self. That's what Shabbat's about. That's what Olam Haba is about. That's what Yeshiva's about. Right? Why do we come to Yeshiva? We want to step out of life for a year, two, however long. I was in Yeshiva for 10 years. I loved it so much. And nobody claims that yeshiva is life. It's been for us. You're stepping out of life to meet Bodhid, to get in touch with your letter in the Torah. Have you heard that idea? Everybody has a letter in the Torah. Everybody has a neshama. I think we mentioned this once, that like in Shmona Asrei, we talk about Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, and Elohei Yaakov, right? Because Elohei Avraham is a little different than Elohei Yitzchak. Why? Why is it a little different? Because Avraham's neshama is different. Just like Elohei Ari is a little different from Elohei Yoshua, who's a little different from Elohei Yaakov, right? So this is the idea of the individual, okay? So if the individual is godly, it's your neshama. Obviously, Judaism cannot be against individualism, because your individualism, the real you, that's the spark of God. That's fantastic, okay? So that's the time to divide. Rav Kook continues on the third paragraph. Badrachata klal, babim koma havdala kitatit. When we talk about the nation, there are also not only divisions to individuals, but there are also subdivisions into subgroups. For example, Havdalat Shevet Levi b'Yesod HaOma. Right? Shevet Levi is divided from the others for a special role. Vavdalat HaKi'una Mitocho. Right? And even within Shevet Levi, there's another subdivision. Bizmanim HaMu'ucharim Havdalat Chavirim Mi'amei HaAretz. Right? Chazal say that Hevei Mitrachik Mishachin Ra. You should stay around good influences. Right? Separate yourself from bad influences. U'bichlal. This is the idea of separating or dividing Israel from the other nations, and Shabbat from Chol, and Kodesh from Chol. Ubarchava yoter kduma, if we take it back even earlier in creation, havdalat ha'adam mikol ha'beima ve'achaya. Man is divided from animal. Okay? I skip down to the fourth paragraph. Aval bit, you all see it? Aval? Aval betoch omka shel havdala zo hitchabrut v'hachlala gnuzoten kluloten bichlaluta. Even though, until now, we've spoken about division and the importance of the individual and his shevet and your community, your smaller community, this havdalah is for the sake of hitchabrut. Here we finally get the answer of what is the relationship, how to harmonize, like Yehoshua said. Obviously, if there's this hashkafa and there's this hashkafa, they're not stupid and they're not stupid. And Judaism is always going to harmonize the two. But how? Here we have the answer. First, build up your individualism. Develop your talents. If you're good at music, if you're good at sports, if you're good at learning, whatever, find your letter in the Torah. But not in order to become wealthy, not in order to become to win a Nobel Prize, but for stage two, so that you have what to give to Am Yisrael. Because if you don't develop your individualism first, what are you going to give to Am Yisrael? Right? And that was what happened in the Soviet Union, where you just stick everybody into the same mold, and they were not coming out as individuals. The beauty of the individual is lost. And that's why the first stage, when you're 10, 15, even 18, 20, is Nahug today, you're not supposed to go and save the nation. You're not supposed to go and serve the nation. First, build yourself. Get in touch with your letter in the Torah. The idea is drawn very nicely with that idea that every Jew has his letter in the Torah, right? In Chassidut, the idea of Yisrael, they say, is a Rashei Tevot, Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiot LaTorah. Has anybody ever heard that?
Yeah.
Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiot LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. 600,000 is the number of Am Yisrael. If you count, it comes out a little less. But the idea is that every Jew has his letter in the Sefer Torah. Now, if you just look at the letter Bet, or Resh, or Aleph, or whatever letter you look at in the Torah, it's not very significant. Right? It's not even a word. On the other hand, a Sefer Torah, which is missing even one letter, what's the halacha?
Puzzle.
It's puzzle. Do you see that? The individual is super important, but not as the goal. I once had a student in Orot, was very bothered by the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which says that why was Adam HaRishon created one? Right? When God created dogs, he created 10 million dogs, 10 million cats, 10 million of everything, except for man. Why was man created alone? To teach us, shekol echad yomar le'atzmo bishvili nivra ha'olam, so that every person should say to himself, the world was created for me. It's a famous Mishnah. So she asked me, she said, that sounds very egoistic. Right? What, we're so individual-minded, so self-centered? I mean, we learned last week that the goal is to be altruistic, to be giving. Right? But that sounds very self-centered. The world was created for me. So I answered her, if Chazal meant to say that all of the steak is for me, all of the money is for me, obviously that's egoistic. But what they mean is that the world is for me, litaken, to fix, because I'm the only one who can fix my letter in the Torah. Eitan's the only one who can fix his letter, who can reveal his letter, who can reveal his spark of God. And without that, the entire Sefer Torah is pasul. Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiot LaTorah. You guys with me? Now we get up to the punchline. So again, the idea here is Havdalah al minat hitchabrut. Separate yourself, concentrate on your individualism, but not in order to be wealthy, not in order to be famous, but in order to have what to give to Am Yisrael. Right? We're not interested in a bunch of parva people who nobody is developing their potential. Let's skip to the last paragraph, where this is the punchline. V'zoti nachalat Hashem b'chol derech hakodesh. This is, you all see it in the last paragraph? This is the way of God regarding all Kiddushah. Hafrada, al menat hitchabrut. First stage, individuality. First, develop your uniqueness. But not for your own sake, but for the sake of hitchabrut, for the nation. Lahefech me'achlala gasa. This is the exact opposite of the crude hachlala. What ideology is Rav Kook referring to? The crude hachlala?
Communism.
That's communism, right? What does communism do? It throws everybody into the same blender, and they come out identical, with nobody realizing their potential. By the way, it's not just communism. It's also Korachism. Remember Korachism? What was his ta'ana? Right? Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim uvtocham Adonai, umadua titnasu al ka'al Adonai. I want to be a Kohen Gadol. Everybody can be a Kohen. Everyone's equal. Korachism, it's the same idea. The same idea with Christianism, right? Christianity also. They say that there's no chosen people. Everybody can be a part of the chosen people. Feminism. Right? You can't just follow it over history. In every generation, there is always a movement which wants to show, no, everybody is the same. And feminism also. The early feminism was, instead of stressing the beauty of male and the beauty of female and the specialness of each, I remember there was a song in the 60s, anything you can do, I can do better. Ever hear that one? And that was really stupid, right? Even as a 10-year-old, I heard that for the first time. I know that's not true. Like, there are certain jelly jars that I can open that my mother can't, right? Men and women are not identical. But that's the Korachism, or the communism, or the original feminism, which is saying that everyone's the same. Hamdaberet gedolot, it talks a great game. On paper, communism is a great ideology. Like I said, when I was a kid, a lot of people, especially Jews, were really into socialism, into communism. So it talks a great, ve'omeret la'geda kol b'chavila achat, and it's going to be world peace if everyone is the same, and everyone's talking the same language, and world unity, and how does it go? Workers, laborers of the world, unite. Ever hear that one? Right? That's nice ideology. Rav Kook says, it's not going to work. Why? Me'abedet et kol hod ruchani v'atzili. Because they lose all of the beauty of each individual nation. We're not interested in the Japanese being American, or in the blacks being white, or the whites being black. We want the world to be, we want each group and each individual to develop their individualism. Imena nili mili. V'sof kol sof al yedei achshakat ha'chayim ne'echar oradat atzalul. And in the end, what happens is that this turn darkens the light, the pure light. And here we come, in the last 4 minutes that we have, to understand why Rav Kook's books, the cookbooks, are all called Orot. Right? Orot HaTorah, Orot HaKodesh, Orot HaTorah. Why Or? Here he explains the difference between Or and Choshech. And follow the next idea, because it'll open your eyes regarding almost every topic in the world. This is something that I understood with the help of my daughter. My, what?
Salad and blender.
Sorry?
Salad blender.
Salad?
Is this a salad blender?
Yeah. Ah, I told you about that.
Just wanted to show off
that. The, my 4-year-old daughter, my in-laws, when they come from America, so they always bring the kids gifts. I have a niece who once thought that America is the name of a toy store. So they brought my daughter a box of 120 crayons. So she asked to bring her a piece of paper. Anybody who has little sisters or nieces knows little girls, they draw very seriously. Takes out a crayon, scribbles a little, puts it back, takes a second crayon, a third. After about 15 crayons, she started crying because her page was black. She didn't have any room for anything. So I brought her another page. And again, she continues where she left off. Another 15 colors, another 15 minutes. Again, she starts crying. Again, the page is black. And then it hit me. What is Rav Kook saying here? What is the difference between Or and Choshech? my daughter's page, Ari, it's all the colors put together. But if they're one on top of the other, you get choshech, darkness, right? What is light? Ari, we learned in fifth grade that light is comprised of all the colors of the prism of the rainbow aligned together, right? Red, orange, yet, Roy G. Biv, right? What's the difference? In light, each of the colors expresses itself. Each of the colors is seen, has something to contribute. Do you see where Rav Kook is going? It's a beautiful mashal. The Torah, the Sefer Torah, how is the Shekhinah going to be revealed to the world? If each and every chelik elukam imal, each and every individual reveals, gets in touch with his letter of the Torah, and not only tolerates the guy next to him, but appreciates the guy next to him. That's the secret to unity. We're not interested in identicalness. We're not interested in everyone being thrown into the blender and blended together. That's the difference of a salad. What's a salad? Take a little carrot and a little onion and a little of this and a little of that, and each one of the vegetables contributes something. As opposed to if you would throw them all in a blender, something which I tried once, so I told them about, it comes out terrible, right? The same thing with music. Anybody here follow, play anything, music? Yeah? What do you play? Guitar, right? Yeah, I remember. So in guitar, what's a chord? It's three notes, right? A, C, E. If everyone was singing A, it'd be boring, right? But the fact that we have different notes harmonized together to make a symphony. And the more gvanim, the more shades, the more instruments, different instruments we have, the more beautiful the symphony is. And the more complete the light is. But only on condition that each and every individual gets in touch with themselves. Right? It's the same thing with music, it's the same thing with colors, with matching, right? What does it mean to match? It doesn't mean that you're wearing a green shirt and a green kippah and green pants and green socks. Right? You look like a clown if you're from head to toe the same color. What does it mean to match? To take something which is a little different and a little different, and it harmonizes together. The same thing with food, like we said, a salad. You take those same ingredients and just throw them into the blender, you get communism. You get darkness. You get my daughter's page. The same thing when you get married. And by the way, this is Rav Kook's Hashkafa, what we're learning tonight, mamash in a nutshell, on every topic under the sun. If you're looking for a girl who's identical to you, you're not going to enjoy, you're going to have pleasure. You dafka want somebody who's a little different, right? In order to harmonize. Harmony is based on differences combining. And just like plus and minus, mankind used to think that they collide. When mankind matured, they realized that that's what electricity is made up of. Dafka plus and dafka minus, which are opposites. As soon as you realize how to harmonize them together, you come out with or. To summarize what we saw, the individual is super important. Ibeina mili mili. That's just the first stage. If you do it just for yourself, Shani la'atzmi la'ani, without doing it for the sake of the nation, to give to others, then you're not really worth too much. One letter of the Sefer Torah isn't worth anything. On the other hand, the whole Sefer Torah, which is missing even one letter, is pasul. So the nation is super important, Am Yisrael is super important. On the other hand, each individual Jew is meant not only to get in touch with himself, but also to learn and harmonize with each other. That's the idea of unity. Not identicalness, but unite the differences. Any questions? There's a lot of food for thought. By the way, the more you think about this, and I've been thinking about this for 25 years, you'll be amazed how this helps you in life. Right? Don't look for identicalness. Don't look for Korach. Look for harmony of different things. Who's that for?
Myself.
Oh, okay.